spend about 4 months in a kind of a poverty-stricken area of India called Patna. That's the city. It's the capital of Bihar, one of the states. And when I talk to people from India and I say I was in Bihar and in Patna, they shake their head and say, oh, you didn't really see India. And they're kind of ashamed of the area. And it has a reputation for being somewhat of a criminal area. But I was there studying yoga and meditation and living in a yoga ashram and trying to connect with God through prayer, meditation, being a vegetarian, etc. And I came up frustrated, praise the Lord. And finally got fed up with it and came back to America and became a Christian by God's grace after several journeys. So how did I meet Sonny? Has to do with that, because on the way back, I met a pastor. I could have been coming from Israel. I forget exactly where I was coming from, but I met a guy on the plane who's from India. Told him how much I had met and how much I had enjoyed being there. Learned a lot about the people. Had a great burden for the people. And he passed my card on to Sonny. And Sonny got in touch with me. And a couple years passed. We corresponded a couple times, then it kind of stopped. And 5 years went by, according to Sonny. And he's got back in touch with me. And I was a little suspicious at first. And then he reminded me how we connected. And I began to really interact with him. And God has put in our relationship like a father-son relationship. It's been a real blessing to both of us. And as I learned about Sonny, I found out that he's a real deal. He really has had a burden for evangelism from the very beginning of his youth. And he's trained. He went to seminary, Bible college. I'll save him. You don't have to say it now. And he prepared for the ministry. And his main focus is helping the unsaved know Jesus and to feed the sheep that God has given him in his church that he started. And he's got a wonderful family, his wife and his two children, Stara and Stefan. And so I'll let him say more at this point. I just want to say something. He does need support. I mean, we're thankful through the ministry of Ami, we've had some of our supporters add to their ability to survive. But up until about a year ago, he was 5 months behind in their rent for their home, and their church meets in the home. And one of our supporters came forth with quite a generous donation, which eventually will run out. And so as you hear about him, as you read the brochure, which I gave out last Sunday, if you didn't get one, let me know. Think about and pray about whether this would be someone that you want to invest in. A little bit of money from America goes a long way in India. So a smaller amount can be very helpful, or a larger amount. Anyway, God bless, Sonny.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, especially Pastor Ami Berwick.
Yes, Berwick.
Before that, I'm very happy to say that Ron Elkin has shared the link of Pastor Arnie's messages, and I used to take the printout of the messages and I studied the messages, and sometimes I use that messages in my church too, so that Pastor Arnie is a blessing for us. Thank you. Once again, I'm very happy to see you all, and the last Sunday I met you all, and you have got the brochure. So it's my great privilege to be here in this beautiful church, and I'm very happy that we all are related to same blood, that is of Lord Jesus Christ. Though I'm coming from a very distant part of the world, from India, I'm thanking God for uniting us together with his very precious blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. First of all, I'd like to share something from the Word of God. So that will be a blessing for us. When I'm traveling from one place to other place in the United States, I used to exhort churches, especially I am exhorting Indian churches. You know, a lot of Indians are here, and they are inviting me in their churches to preach the Word of God. So I used to give Christ-centered messages to them, because according to Colossians, we know that we should rooted in Christ Jesus, so that our spiritual growth can be well-rooted and stabled according to the Word of God. Okay? When I came here, Pastor Arnie asked me what message that you are going to give. And without any doubt, I told him that I am going to preach from Gospel of John, chapter 15. This is a wonderful parable of Jesus Christ. I am admiring Jesus because we know he was a best teacher. And we know after the death of Lazarus, Jesus came to Bethany. And Martha, she went to Mary and said, "Rabbi has come." Because both Martha and Mary considered Jesus as the best teacher. In Hindi it is, or in Malayalam it is said, guru, for teacher. In our Indian perspective, in the primitive age, in the primitive times, there were gurus, there were teachers. They will staying in a hut, and their disciples also will be staying in the house, and he will feed them with physical foods. At the same time, he will feed with the wisdom. In the daytime, they will circle around a tree, and they used to teach. I think Jesus also has a same kind of teaching method that Jesus adopted. He taught them beside the sea. He taught them by sitting in the mountains, and he used the very nature-friendly parables for their understanding. So here also, in this beautiful parable, Jesus is using a wonderful parable, and that parable shows how humble that parable is. That shows that Jesus is using very very simple and a humble parable to teach the disciples, or to teach the people before him. Hallelujah. In our area, area in India, after the meetings, or after such kind of prayer meetings, or hearing the messages, people will say, "Oh, what a wonderful message that we heard. Oh, very, very good message." But when we asking them, "What was the message?" "Wow, I don't know, but it was a wonderful message." Because the people, they could not understand what the preacher said. And then they are saying that is a wonderful message. But Jesus was not such a preacher, but he preached, or he taught to her hearts. Jesus Jesus was as an insistence, or Jesus was very strict that his hearers has to understand what he is teaching. I could understand that we know that Jesus took only 3.5 years in this world for the ministry. So in this 3.5 years, he used his maximum time to teach. That is why he gave much emphasize in his teachings, and the topic of the main topic of the teaching was, please tell me, the kingdom of God. He taught about the kingdom of God, and and he entrusted that teachings to his disciples, and his disciples carry over that messages to the entire world. Hallelujah. So now we are also the partakers of that great message that Jesus taught us, so let us praise the Lord for that. So I would like to read that first two verses, Gospel of John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit in me, he removes it, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it in order to that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as the branch is not able to bear the fruit from itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. So when I just went through these passages, I could understand that this parable is all about relationships. So relationship is the key matter here. Hallelujah. Otherwise we can say that Jesus loves the relationships, or our relationship is very important with the Lord. So here Jesus tells us the relationship between God the Father, Son, and the branches that we are. Starting with I am the true vine, it shows the genuineness of Jesus Christ. He himself claims that or tells that he is the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. So relationship is very important here. As the Father is the vine dresser and Jesus is the true vine, and where is our position there? I'm thanking the Lord for we have a position there, and God has placed us in the relationship between God the Father and the God the Son. So we are very important to God. Hallelujah. So every time we need to think and understand that I am an important person with my God, because God placed me as branches in his vineyard, and I am coming out from the true vine. And that means I am related with the God. I am related with Christ. So that is the blessed position that God has given to us. Hallelujah. It is understandable that Jesus is a vine planted before the foundation of this world. The plan of God is very eternal. Ephesians chapter 1:4, it reads like that. God chosen us in him before the foundation of this world. We are not chosen in this time, but we are chosen before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. See, many people think that, I am chosen 2014, I am chosen in 2017 or 2018. No. You were in Jesus before the foundation of the world. That means when the vine or true vine, or when the vine is sprouting from its seed, we cannot see every branches, but we can expect, or we can make sure that there will be branches coming out of the true vine. Hallelujah. Praise God. To who the world is the power that not seen for us, but the Lord, he saw us before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in him And in the fullness of time, we came out from the true vine, and thus we are become the branches. Hallelujah. So I used to say in my church that you are belongs to this era. You are belongs to this century. You are belongs to this year. And that you may be fruitful for the Lord. Hallelujah. See, here it is very clearly written here that God chosen us before the foundation of this world. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, it said also, we are elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and a sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So in this parable, Jesus saying that he expects what God the Father expects from us, that we should be fruitful in him. That means the purpose of the vine dresser is that we should be fruitful. Amen. See, I'm sure that in Florida there is vineyards, isn't mm-hmm. it? Vineyards. In India also vineyards, but in my state Kerala has not vineyard because of that climatic condition is not favorable for the vine. See, when the grapes are coming in the vine, we never think the grapes are not belonging to the vine. That belongs to us. Hallelujah. I think you understand that. Because with the plan, with the purpose, the vine dresser planted the vine, and the fruit belongs to not to the vine but to the vine dresser. Hallelujah. So all the fruits that we have to bear is belongs to God. I think that is why the people are not ready to bear fruit, because I will not get the fruit. All the fruit belongs to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If all the fruits and all the profits are belongs to us and it is profitable for us, we will try our best to bear fruits. I think you understand this message. And it is for the Lord. That is why we have planted, he has planted in the best place. Hallelujah. When I'm thinking about the different people groups around the world, for example, we Indians are in the Asian continent, and India, the people in Europe, people in Africa, people in America, they have their own climate, their own geographical, suitable geographical situations. And if you were in other place, if you are going to other place, it will be very hard for us to live. In the same way, God planted you here to bear the fruit, and God expect the fruit. Now see here it is written that every branch that bear fruit, he prunes it in order to that it may bear more fruit. We know the pruning is very important, but pruning is very hard. Why the pruning is happening? Only through the pruning, the thickness of the growth of the vine can be reduced, so that more sunlight can come upon the vine and the photosynthesis can be happened. Only through that the vine can be fruitful. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, If you plant a small tree with the expectation of some fruits, if it is grow without fruits in a flourishing manner, do you like it?
We don't like it.
Like in the noticement now, Jesus said, there was a fig tree planted in the vineyard. And the owner of the vineyard, owner of the vineyard expected every year that it may be a fruit, but no fruit. So likewise, if there is no fruit, we will not appreciate that. But people are like that, no? People like that. Because the fruits are not for them. Fruits are taken by the Lord. So, why have to be a fruit? Because Lord is taking every fruit and He is not giving us anything. That is why their prayer is that, Lord, give me financial blessings, give me growth, give me a beautiful house, give me everything. When they are coming to the prayer meetings, they used to say that, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. But not they are praying about to bear fruit for the Lord, because they are thinking for themselves only, but they are not thinking about the kingdom of God, or they are not thinking about the purpose of God, that which they are called. So this evening I urge you, brothers and dear ones, we have to bear fruit, not for us, but for the Lord. Hallelujah. When we read in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 22, there we can read that Joseph is the bow of a fruitful vine, a fruitful bow by a spring. His branches climb over the wall. The archers fiercely attacked him. They shot arrows at him and were hostile to him. Why the archers attacked him? Because he has food. And it is also written there that there was a wall against Joseph, because Joseph was a fruitful bow. Amen. So when we are growing, no problem. But when we are bearing fruit, the time itself, the Satan will attack you. There will be persecutions. There will be hostility against us. There will be war. That you should be grow till here, not up, not over that. Amen. Amen. Satan is always very cunning. He will say that, okay, do not be a fruit. I will not disturb you. Do not be a fruit. I will not disturb you. Amen. One day, one of my church member, she is an old lady. You may see jackfruit tree. How many of you?
Yeah.
Here, I think in Florida there is jackfruit.
I don't know if it's there in Florida, but I know.
Okay.
You.
Okay. Very near to her house, there is a jackfruit tree. Before that year, one year back, there was full of jackfruits. But the next year, though the jackfruits are coming up, but it was falling down. It will fall down. Then she called me through phone. Pastor, come please. I need a prayer. I have a prayer request. Then I took my bike and I went there to that house. And I just asked, dear ma'am, what is your prayer request? So I came inside her house. And then I said, okay, ma'am, let's pray. Then she said, no, pastor, you are not supposed to pray inside the house. Just let us go outside, because the prayer request is outside, because we have to go in the underneath of the jackfruit tree, and you have to lay your hands upon the jackfruit tree and you go to pray. Then I just asked her, what's the reason? And she said, oh pastor, do you know last year we got full of jackfruits, but this year every jackfruits are falling down, so you have to pray by laying your hands. Okay, I will pray. Close your eyes. And there all the women are now putting their cover on the head, and she also did the same. And I closed my eyes, she also closed her eyes. And what happened is, when we are praying, the Holy Spirit told me, lay your hands upon this lady.
Instead of the tree.
Amen. She shocked. Then I said, I rebuking the spirit in her. Go away. Then right after prayer, she asked me, pastor, I told you to lay your hands upon the jackfruit tree, and why you are to lay your hands upon me? Then I told that, ma'am, the problem is not in the jackfruit tree, but problem is inside you. That's why I laid my hands on you. Amen. Hallelujah. I used to say that Satan doesn't need our jackfruit, our coconuts, our vegetables. They need our foods to destroy. Amen. So when you take time for half hour of prayer, then you will feel that, oh, I have some problems. Maybe it is I prayed yesterday half hour. Mm-hmm. Then Satan will come and say, because you prayed half hour yesterday, that is why you have some problems. Then cut short your prayer. Then we cut short our prayer, 50 minutes. Then next day we feel that, my problems come down. Then at last, only 5 minutes or 2 minutes, and prayer. One day, another lady came to me and said, pastor, please pray for me. Whenever I am praying, I am very sleepy. Mm-hmm. I cannot pray. I cannot continue in prayer. Then I asked some questions to her. When you are going to bed? And she said, when I am getting sleep, I am going to bed. And when you are praying? Yeah, when I am going to bed, I am praying. Then I said, no need to pray for you, because you are praying when you are getting sleep or when you are going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that Satan has tuned many people for not bearing fruit. Let us come out of that. We need to bear fruit. Amen? That is why every time God is cutting our priorities. That is pruning. Amen. In India, the people are used to do that. If God is pruning them, they will say that, oh, I'm going to take fast for 3 days. Because I need some deliverance from the Lord. Because some blessings are in under threat. Amen? No, you are not supposed for that, because God is pruning you for a better result. So I'm thanking the Lord for this wonderful word. So every time God is expecting us that we may bear more fruit. Let us bear more fruit for the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord is wonderful in using us and by investing His time in us, and giving every blessings to you, blessing to us. And I felt that America is a blessed country. Are you agree with me?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes.
Very
yes.
Blessed people. Mm-hmm. Very Absolutely. Blessed place. Yesterday, Ron just asked me, But when we are swimming, how is in India? How is the place? How is the roads? And I said to him, I'm very happy that America has a good planning by focusing the future. But the India, the government, is not focusing the future. They are taking on the present time. They are not thinking about our coming generation. They are thinking about their generation only. So I'm thanking the Lord for this beautiful country. So you have every blessings here because you are following Jesus. And I know there are some problems in the country, but I'm sure that God will, when we are praying, as Chronicle says, when you are submitting ourselves and looking to the Lord, and the Lord will deliver us, surely. So every Christian is to kneel before the Lord. And if they have sins, they have to confess before the Lord and make attention to the Lord, and the Lord may deal with us in this beautiful country. You know, India is a largest country in the world, maybe 10th. But the population there is more than 3 times of United States. It is believed that in 2090, that's this year, the population of India will become 1.39 billion population will be in this year. So that is going to be happen in India this year. About 80% of people are Hindus. You know Hindus? They are not they're not having one God. It is said that they have a 30 billion gods. 30 billion gods. That is a saying, okay? That much gods they have. So when we are going with the door-to-door evangelism by entering the Hindu houses, some houses may receive us, some houses may reject us. One day, I got a very good opportunity to enter an house. I think I told you in the church last week that Jesus and the Lord Krishna are same. So the people are thinking that every religion is same. All of them are, and all rivers are going in a one river. Huh? So every religion are going in a one place. So no need to convert to Christianity, or no need to accept Jesus Christ, because everything is same. So there are a lot of such kind of arguments when we are going to many places. So why I'm here is to say about the ministry in India. Of course, earlier time itself, India's the evangelism was under a great threat, because of almost every people, that about 80% of Indian population, they are in illiteracy. They are not illiterate. So when we are saying about Jesus, they doesn't know who he is, Jesus. So when we try to tell about Jesus, it is very hard to understand that for that people. So we have to take much time to tell about them, to tell about Jesus Christ. That is why the missionaries, they used to do some mercy activities to bring the people, to attract their confidence, to share the gospel to them. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay.
Amen.
You know, it's always it is challenging. I came to ministry after my studies in the Bible college. I studied about 5 years in Bible seminary, and I completed a Bachelor of Arts in English Literature, and also I have completed Bachelor of Divinity from Sarampur University. So right after that, I got a great opportunity to teach in a Bible college that is having about 200 students from all over the part of India. And almost 90% of the students, they are after the studies, they are going to the mission fields. So I taught that Bible college about 2 years, and thereafter I taught another Bible college for 5 years. So some other Bible college also I taught to many people, and I calculated that I have trained more than 1,000 people in the Bible seminaries, and I'm very happy that even in America also some of my students are working and doing the ministry, and this time I have not met them, and they are working among the Indians here. A lot of Hindus, a lot of Sikh people are here, so they are working among them, and they have some churches here, Indian churches. Okay, but after some times I could understand that okay, it's good to be a trainer, good to be a teacher, but at the same time, if I'm not practicing what I'm preaching, I'm not against my mission or vision that the Lord has entrusted to me. That is why I prayed to start a church. And before that, when I visited Northern India, by accidentally, I have to attend in a church in Punjab. In India, there is no lady pastors. There is no lady pastors at the time. The Indians will not accept the ladies as priests or pastors. So when I visited Punjab, I could see two girls as pastors in a church. And then I asked to their father, why you ordinated your daughters as the pastors? Then he said that no male is here to become pastors. No man is here to become pastors. And we need workers, we need the laborers here. That is why I laid my hands upon my daughters, and they are now become pastors. So they are amazingly, they are doing the ministry, that ladies, wonderful, they are doing the ministry. So right after that, I got a burden that India needs laborers. And the Bible says in this brochure also it is written that harvest is plentiful, but the workers are very few. One of my teacher in Bible college, he used to say that harvest is plentiful, but the true workers are very few. Workers are few, but the true workers are very few. My family is a very poor family. My father was a pastor, and when I was sent to the Bible college, the fees was 500 rupees per month. That means that's about under $10. He has not in a position to give that, because my father at that time, he has only 3,000 rupees from the church as a honorarium. That means about $50 for him. So spending 500 rupees or under $10 was very difficult for them. But Lord enabled me to study in the Bible college, and it helped me very much. So, but at the same time, when I'm coming in the ministry, I have a motorbike at the time. Sometimes when I'm riding in the bike, the petrol in the or gas in the tank will be fully finished. So I used to, there the motorbikes are the gear, with the geared bike. So I used to put the in a neuter position, and pulling or doing like this by sitting on the bike. I went through. Yeah. So it was very hard to me to start a Bible training center. But by faith I started it. And I started with six students from northern India, that is the central and the north part of India. And I took them with a vision to train them. So I trained them with a vision. There's a lot of testimonies I can say, but because of the lack of time, I'm not going for a full description. And so along with the Bible seminar, Bible training center, that is only for training them for the church planting. I'm not going to teach them all in the Bible, but for the essential thing, how to say the gospel, how to plant a church, and how to have a great relationship with God, and everything I taught them. And some other pastors also from other places helped me very much in teaching the students. So along with that, for giving them some ministry exposures, I started a church along with that. So after 1 year, because of a lack of funds and many time I struggled very much, so I decided to stop the Bible college for a while, but I'm never left my vision till now. I sent them back to North India, but unfortunately one student, after reaching his house, he got a typhoid and he died. But other five people, they are still in the ministry in northern India, and I'm very happy for that, because they are using in the hands of God very powerfully. And but the church was remained. At the beginning, me and my wife and children, we were alone. This is my family, and we were alone. We ourselves put the offerings, take the communion, and sing the praises to the Lord. But later, after the evangelization process in our surrounding places, God added many people. Now about 35 people are attending in our church service and praising the Lord, and they are doing the ministry. And every month we have public ministries, door-to-door evangelism, and also we have began a television ministry. That is one of the highlight of our ministry. That is reaching about 30 million people in India. So whenever we are going to door-to-door evangelism, I will say one example. When I'm traveling with, when I'm going for the door-to-door evangelism with two of my missionaries, somebody called me, "Oh, who is going there? That person that we are seeing in the television. Oh, come to your house." They are a Hindu family. If they are not seeing me in the television, they will not call me, because I became a fan for them. And they call me, and I very happily entered the house, and they gave me everything, because of the people in Kerala, they are very, very hospitable. They are showing hospitality to the people. Even when you are coming, you know, don't forget to come in the houses, because you can experience the tremendous hospitality from the people. And they gave us water to drink and everything. But at the time, I'm used to share the gospel to them. So at that time itself, they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the personal Savior and God. And there are a number of examples that the television ministry is doing in India. So presently, our program is going in Harvest TV. There is a channel called Harvest TV that is also telecasting in America also, in India also. The people in America, especially the people who are speaking Malayalam, I will be thinking about English subtitles in the television channel, so that the people who are speaking English also can understand what I'm preaching. Okay. So it is telecasting in, every Monday, 6:30 p.m. Indian time, and United States time, every Tuesday. Now I think because of the time arrangements, 11:30 I think, so it's telecasting in America too. So as I told you, our door-to-door evangelism is one of the main thing. In sometimes when we are reaching to the houses, they will shut the door very loudly. And then we will say that, oh, brother, don't destroy your door. We will go, no problem. We already have given you the track, so you can read that, no? Mm-hmm. They're doing that. But sometimes we are also have some strategies to enter in the houses. Few of our team members, when we are calling the bell or knocking at the door, they began to open the door, then we will lose our shoes, like to enter in the house. Then they automatically will, because the people are with hospitality, now they will open the doors and we will enter. So I think that is like a mouse is coming into the trap. No, we are the mouse is not ready to enter the trap, but it is accidentally entering. But we are in the place of mouse. We want to enter in the, but we want to trap them for the Lord. Mm-hmm. At the time we will share, they will give us, and also sometimes we used to say that, we are walking a long time under the heavy heat of the sun, very thirsty, please give us some water. The people will not let us drink water by standing outside. They will always inviting, when we ask in the drink, our water, they will invite us into the house. Then they will ask, okay, what is the reason that you are coming? Then maybe our brothers will have some testimonies that once I was a senior, or I was a drunkard, or I was having no peace, but God delivered me. So that kind of testimonies will touch the hearts. And that happening in India, door-to-door evangelism. So every week we'll have about 150, at least we'll cover 150 houses. That is according to the time that we spend in each houses. Some houses we spending more time because they will have a lot of questions, a lot of concerns that we need to address. And some houses, they will say, oh, we have now time, just give your literature so that we can read. Mm-hmm. We have good tracts. Okay, of course, we need to print more. This kind of door-to-door evangelism is happening in India. And also, we have public ministry. I'm very happy that Reverend Ron Elkin has helped us to buy a wonderful portable mic system that we can take in every places. And I think here this is my car, and I will put the system on the roof of my car, and we will start with a song by putting a song in the MP3 player of the system.
Like this.
Yeah.
Then you went from a bag to a car?
Car. I have a car. This is my car. This is my,
yes.
God gave me a car. Still, I am I am paying for the car.
Other thing. How is the television ministry paid for?
It is...
Only by donation.
It's by donation, yeah. By the grace of God, Ronald can also help us very much in doing the missions through the television channels. And so when we are begin to preach, people will listen. So I'm saying one more story regarding this. The northern part of Kerala is dominated by Muslims. One day we went that place, and the Muslim they have a prayer sound in the noon, like this.
Doctors at that time.
Yeah. They will make a sound. So we
hospital.
Yeah, we were. Standing, we all the team are standing together and singing the song. The song's tune will be according to their tune. Muslim tuned songs according to that, no? Because they can understand that. And also they will like the tunes. So when we are singing the songs, the sound of their prayer began to blow. And then what happened now? We stopped them, our singing. Then we stand like this, everybody. Till the finishing of the song, their prayer, we stand like this. Then all the people in that town, they came us and said, you Christian brothers honored us. That is why we want to remain here, you to remain here and sing more songs and preach about Isa Nabi.
Oh.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. So we will exploit every opportunities that we can able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also one more story there also. We were with an Inspector General Police permission, we conducted a gospel rally from town to town. So it reached in a place in the morning, and we fixed a certain place in that village to conduct a Jesus film show. So we began in the morning itself announcements. Likewise, oh, everybody come. In 6 p.m. we have a Jesus film show. Oh, come to your town so that you can learn about the life of Isa Nabi and everything. Now we announced. So some Muslim brothers, they blocked us. Blocked us our vehicle, and they said, no, you are not supposed to conduct the program here tonight because we have a sheep distribution for the poor people. You know sheep distribution? God.
Once a year? Is it once a year?
Yeah, it's once a year.
Once a year, the Muslims that have money buy sheep and give it to the poor people.
Yeah.
As a... the Muslims have their forms of charity.
Oh. Yeah.
It's a form of charity within their religion.
Uh-huh.
To
yeah.
help, the poor.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of poor.
Yeah.
So they're going to distribute at the same time when they're supposed to have the meeting.
Yeah, yeah. And they said that you are not supposed to conduct the meeting because we already have arranged about 3,000 people will gather here.
Yeah.
But we said that we have Inspector General Police of State of Kerala, we got the permission to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said, oh, we have not. Then one thing we can do, we will conduct our program first in 6 p.m. And later you can conduct your program. Then we agreed for that.
So you agreed to let the Muslims do theirs first?
Yeah, their first.
Right.
Yeah. Then also, because we granted the time to them, and as a honorable, as an honor, they gave us an opportunity to represent, take some representative for this program. And I am one of the person who represented my ministry there, and I attended that ceremony. And I have a few words with in that ceremony also. So right after the sheep distribution, the main person announced that everybody who came for that sheep distribution should not leave this place, because our Christian brothers, they came with the Isa Nabi film show, Jesus film. So they are going to show this. Nobody move from here. So we got 3,000 people to watch the program. That was the first time that a full house of, not full house, but that's a town.
A full field.
Yeah, 3,000 Muslims. They gathered and watched the television, sorry, the film show. Amen. So that kind of very breakthroughs are happening there in India, among the problems that we are receive in India. Now, as you know, our ruling party is BJP there in India. They are a very fanatical Hindu group. They are supported by fanatic Hindu group. And even last week also, a church in Kerala was attacked when they are worshipping the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That pastor was brutally attacked. And we are expecting great tribulation or great persecutions at any time. 2 years back, when I'm going for the evangelism, a group of people came. That they are called RSS, Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, that belongs to this ruling party, and they said, "Okay, no more gospel tracts, no more propagation here. Leave this place." Then we said that we are going only in the Christian houses, not the Hindu houses. No. You should not do the gospel work here. Right itself you have to leave. Then we neglected that, no. But then they called more people and came back. And they showed us arms in the vehicle, in their car, full of weapons to attack us. Then what happened is, then we told them, "Okay, brothers, we will leave this place, and you can go now. We will die right now itself." Then we hold our hands together, and by standing in the middle of the road, we prayed for that area. "Lord, deliver this area so that many people can hear the gospel in the coming days." So this is happening in India. So we have a wonderful mercy ministries too in Kerala. We are going through floods last year, and we distributed charity things to them, and also we are supporting the people. Especially we are taking the children from the Hindu groups to show the charity, that the love of Jesus to them. Thus we can share the gospel by our deeds to them. And also when we are going to the northern India, we have to distribute clothes to them. We sometimes we are taking the used clothes or fresh one to show the love of Jesus in their lives. Thus we can having a good access among the people. We have a mission in Odisha that we can see in this the third page of this brochure. Baptism are happening. This is a small size photo because of the brochure size is very very small. That is why the photo also very small. Pastor, his name is Pastor Jehuda Baga, and we are supporting him because our strategy is taking the local missionaries. That we believe that only through the local missions, local missionaries, because India having diversity in culture. Every state have more than three languages. Kerala have only one, but other states have more than three languages in every states. And there is different dialects also. Every language have different dialects. And in the tribal areas, they have their own languages. And when we preach the gospel, they will not come to our thought of pattern. It's very hard to. I still remember that when I preaching in the church in Odisha, I took that special portion from the Bible, the parable of sower. I thought that because all of them are farmers, when I'm saying the parable of sower, they can understand very easily. But my message was translated in three languages. I preached in English. And my brother, another brother, he translated to Hindi, then Hindi to Odia, then Odia is the language of Odisha, and then Odia to Kui, that is a tribal language. That means when I say a sower went to sow, I can remain 5 minutes rest.
It would break your pattern.
Yeah. But at last, from the response of the people, I could understand that they are understanding nothing. Then I stopped the message. And then I wanted that local pastor to preach, because only he can teach. Because he knows their thought of pattern. Mm-hmm. He knows what parable is to say, what example to say. So that is a reality. That is why we are not planning to send the missionaries from Kerala to there. But instead, we want to raise the local missionaries by giving them training. And that's why we have a wonderful ministry in Odisha. And the last 1 year, his church has multiplied. And now, every month, there will be baptisms. And it's going on very well. So I request a prayer for the ministry that we are doing in India, so that India can be reached very powerfully in these days. So maybe I'll be going tomorrow to Atlanta. I will be back again on next Wednesday. I'll be back here, and thereafter I'll be going to Houston, then to New York, and will back to India. And I will be praying for you for the beautiful church. Especially I love Pastor Arni very much, because his messages are very touching. Thank you, Pastor. And also the time that
I wanted to explain a little bit about Odisha.
Okay.
Or Odisha.
Odisha. Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of the most radical Hindu areas in India. I actually was living in a state just south of there. Oh no, just north of there. When I went to India, but it's a remarkable thing that this poor church in Kerala, because they're struggling to survive, they are assisting this pastor. It's many. How many miles would you say it is away from Kerala? Because it's certainly the opposite.
Yeah, it is about, I think, 4,000 miles. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
It's really a long distance.
Yeah.
But they're financially helping them anyway, in spite of the fact that they're struggling. And this is an area where they have burnt down churches.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Austrian missionary.
Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Australian?
Yeah.
Well, there had been an Australian man there with his family, and doing good work, helping the community, and of course sharing about Jesus. And some radical Hindus came, and they grabbed him and two of his children and burnt them to death.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So for this man that they're supporting to be planting churches, you know, it's quite a feat, and it's quite, you know, by God's grace, he's being protected. And it's a good thing. So Sonny's vision is not just for this state, this other state, but by God's grace, if through the TV preaching and through fundraising, to find other men in other states. He's primarily a trainer as well as being a pastor and a personal evangelist. So his vision is to find individuals that God will direct him to, and to train them and to help them to be able to pastor and start churches. And it's a good way to do evangelism, the best way, actually.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
When you have your service in your home, have you ever felt threatened? Have you had any issues?
Yeah, we have problem. Because just near to our house, there is a Hindu house.
Uh-huh.
At any time, something happen, no? Maybe police can come and they can prevent us. That's why we are praying for a public place. But why we are not taking the public place? Because we have no money to pay the rent. Even our house rent is very high also, 8,000 rupees. That is about it is about $120 per month.
In the house, they have a big meeting room.
Yeah, yeah.
Besides their living quarters, they have a separate room where the church
meets. If you are moving to the public place, more people